Nah, bro, that was somebody got to do better, because they announced 3 o'clock is when everything starts. They were clearly waiting for the start of this ESPN free agent show that started at 4.
Yeah, they were.
So why not just start everything at 4? Or ESPN have the show at 3?
Yes, because they were airing, what is this, Wimbledon coverage? They were just airing Wimbledon. They're like, ah, nothing happening at 3 o'clock. We
get
know that.
Get Federer off of there. I'm trying to see what Scott Perry's Fuck doing.
How? I don't understand how TSA won't, you know, let me bring a straight edge to cut my beard, or won't let me bring edibles on the plane. But a guy with an oxygen tank and a pacemaker, and he's, hey, you could just get on a flight? Like, at some point, someone's got to go, hey, brother, I don't know what you're going to Miami for, but maybe don't. Let's not.
And
sir, we can't in good conscience let you go.
What's crazy is one of the women at the baggage claim was like, oh, I said to myself when he got on the plane, he shouldn't be flying. And I said, oh, my God, me too. And I've never thought that to myself. That's how immobile he was getting on.
Miss P says,
it was like Final Destination.
Miss P says, you can get on a plane with gummies, LOL. Miss P ride different planes than
yeah,
I do.
She's not flying she's commercial.
On, yeah, I'm flying commercial, Miss P.
She's flying a private jet.
I can't get on.
Also, what a photo for Miss P.
That's her people. See?
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to DMV's finest.
I think Miss P's birthday coming up.
Yeah,
I think it's the
4th
of July.
Yeah, shout out Miss P, man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shout out. Happy
Wonder
birthday, Miss P.
What island she's going to be on for her birthday that she flew the private jet to.
Well, you said in your tweet that this was going to take longer than an hour, and you were on point. I think we covered everything. I'm not really sure.
Think we did.
I'm not really sure. I just now Shams is on. Now you know nothing's happening. Well, he's got his phone in his hand. So well, hopefully.
He always has a phone.
Hopefully he'll do better than our brother Chris did yesterday when he had his phone.
It was rough.
He had a tough day yesterday. He had the D'Angelo Russell Photoshop mishap in the Jake LaRavia Lakers signing.
Rough. That is so rough. I felt so bad for him. Can you imagine dating you? Obviously not you two, but could you imagine someone dating Shams and like trying to get any? If your love language is quality time, you're not getting it.
Yeah,
you're never getting quality time.
That's why old girl was mad. Kay Adams. That's why she was
Kay Adams.
Mad.
He got her a pair of John Geigers
time.
And said, "Keep it pushing."
Can you put your phone down for 5 minutes? No, actually, I can't.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine him dating someone who didn't know anything about the NBA?
Oh.
Like Katie.
So
like he's dating like someone like Katie, and she's like, why do you keep playing on your phone? Why do you keep tweeting all day? It's like I have 3.1 million people I have to get this news out to.
Didn't we? I mean, this isn't a secret, just rehashing, but we saw Shams game one.
Yeah,
his Warriors, and didn't he stop and say hi to
the only one he cared about was Trista.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Vivek literally drooling from across the court that Shams Charania was there. Never have ever seen Vivek react like that to anything.
He was thirsty for him.
And Shams rolls by. It's Kenny, Trista, me. He zeroes in on one person and one person only, and it wasn't the two of us.
Yeah. Shams. Friend of the pod.
My Shams story.
Shams.
It's my one time seeing Shams.
Shams dating a regular person, though, would be amazing.
Incredible. He would probably just crash out. I don't think he has the ability to, put his phone
down. Is that something, you have to, address that date
right
one. Like, look, I have to put my phone on the table. Here's why. It's going to light up a lot. My phone is going to be very active. Like, you have to address that the very first time you go out with somebody.
Definitely. He probably should live on the West Coast because then you have later.
Sure.
Yep. It's like 9 p.m., 10 p.m., you can get a little personal time.
Yeah.
And you won't worry as much about the phone lighting up. You got to move to like L.A.
I wonder when he's going to stop.
Who told the story? There were two. I can't remember if one was Sean. I feel like one was Schefter. where they was in a romantic situation?
Oh no, that was my story that I was talking to Jay Glazer, and he
Glazer. That's what it was. Yeah,
it was Deflategate mid pump.
Oh well.
No, isn't that ironic? Deflategate.
Well,
the phone ain't buying me like that. Well,
real quick.
I don't think
any Sacramento Detroit trade is happening. Duncan Robinson has agreed to a 3-year, $48 million deal with the Detroit Pistons.
I think
Shams is tweeting that right now. I just looked up at the screen. I think he's tweeting it right now. Duncan Robinson, 3-year, $48 million deal to the Detroit Pistons. I have to believe any conversation between the Sacramento Kings and the Detroit Pistons regarding Malik Monk is dead.
Where do you think Malik goes?
Sacramento.
That's just where he is now.
I don't think he has a market, man.
This may be an Allen Iverson 2001 situation. I've talked about this before. Remember, Allen Iverson was gone. He was traded. The Sixers traded him. And Matt Geiger did not waive his no-trade clause, so they had to bring everything back, and they went to the NBA Finals.
That's what's happening?
Could be.
Well, you heard it here first. Kenny said he's in Vivek's pocket. We're going to the NBA Finals.
I think the time to come to Sacramento is in August. Just putting that out there. For me.
Oh, for you. Oh. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Just was thinking about. Well, I was my segue was if you guys go to the finals, I'm definitely up in there. Oh. But also, I think coming to Sacramento when the NBA season has died down is the best time.
Well, like, are we starting next month or are we starting next year?
Next month.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. We need to plan a show then if you're gonna come.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't we talk about a show?
Let Sky
Rizzy go. Let the Sky Rizzy know.
Okay, we got that. We also have something that is very close to being complete. Our 5-year anniversary is coming up too.
So
what's the date on that?
August 17th, I think,
want to say August 20th, but
our 5-year anniversary on ESPN is August 17th. Our 2-year anniversary on KSFM is August 14th or 15th.
Well, let me know what kind of things are popping.
We'll figure something out because that's
around for it.
Yeah, and I think we're both like taking time off in August too. So if we can finesse this to where we hit the live show and I have some time off and we're just like hanging out.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking as well.
All right. We'll get that done. Boom. All right, TK. We'll let you go, man. We appreciate you so much.
Love y'all.
Love you back.
Bye.
That's a girl, Trista Crick, right there.
Yeah.
Well, Miss P wants to come to the live show. We ain't even got a live show planned. Come on, Miss P. Charter up the chat. You know what to do.
Stop playing with us, man.
You know what to do.
Hey, can I read something I got from the Louis Vuitton Don?
Okay.
He's listening.
Privately. You got it privately?
Yeah, but he said it's good.
Okay,
all
right.
He said it's good. He's watching. He might still be watching, but he's... Well, you know how he...
He don't text me. Look. Hey, Mark, it's me. I know we... It's me.
But look, this is how he did it. He said, I'm watching y'all 35,000 feet in the air.
Ah, my man.
Oh, man, the Louis Vuitton Don making moves. But he said he was talking to a Pistons assistant. And this is what they said about Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
They said, yeah, we're going to miss DS. He's such a savvy vet, a student of the game with a high basketball IQ, would always have a basketball game playing on his iPad. He's really good at attacking off pick and rolls. He's one of the best at drawing fouls when his team is in the bonus. He's a feisty defender who knows how to raise his defensive level when it's winning time. You guys got a really good pickup. Again, we're going to miss him over here in the D.
Shout out to our brother Mark Jones for that, man. We appreciate you.
Shout out to the Louis Vuitton Don, man.
Thank you for listening.
When he lands somewhere, we got to holler at him, man.
Oh, he's probably landing where there's, you know, beaches
tropical,
and water and, you know, palm trees. Yeah. And, put me on the payroll. Like, I like Dennis Schroeder, like I always have.
Yeah.
Like, you could dig through the archives of this show. I like Dennis Schroeder. I don't have a problem with this pickup whatsoever. It's the Kings need to move someone. I feel like for multiple reasons, it's Malik. I felt like if this could have been executed with a sign and trade, you would have had the ability to do more in free agency. Based on this Duncan Robinson signing to Detroit, which is actually a sign and trade with Miami, it's not happening. Yeah. I mean, at least I can't imagine it happening now. Yeah. So, yo, all of you guys who love Malik, yo, you're in a great spot for Malik to be back next year.
And we're one of them. We're two of them.
I just don't know. I don't know. You can't go sign Russell Westbrook now. Mm-hmm. And sure, that was my own personal want. But the hell with all of you. Why can't I want something?
Sorry, I'm not ready to give up my favorite player for yours yet.
Right. I guess not. I don't know.
But I still think there's too much of a problem in that backcourt, and how do you solve it? I don't know. I'm not saying you base everything off of him, but Nick Clifford, he's not 6'8". He's like 6'6". Like, he's a borderline, like James said yesterday, borderline 2'3". So now you're talking about...
Versus a 3'4".
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you're talking about Schroeder, Devin Carter, Malik Monk, Keon Ellis, all of these guys trying to fit into the rotation, all trying to get meaningful minutes. If Malik is here opening night, that's going to be a job for Coach Christie. He's going to have to figure that out. And maybe it's also one of those things where you got four guys there that none of them are 40-minute-a-night guys or 35-minute-a-night guys. Maybe it works out perfectly because you got, you know, four guys that, you know, 25 minutes, 20, that's where they should be around. Some would say if you got four guys like that, you don't have a starting point guard, but, you know, maybe that's where it works out a little bit.
Run with Fox on X says, change your Twitter name. Word YouTube name. What are the odds we can get DeRozan off the bench? And is the idea here, run with Fox, you're starting Malik?
I don't know why you would do that.
I don't either. Like, someone explain to me, because this is another popular thing in King's world. Explain to me a run with X says Keon. Okay. Keon with Dennis?
Keon, Dennis, and Zach. Three-guard lineup. Maybe you're having Zach at the three. So run with Fox and others. You know where I stand on this. A lot of you guys focus on starting the game. I'm not saying that don't matter, mm-hmm. but I look at who finishes the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the times DeRozan's going to finish. So mm-hmm. it don't matter. Like, I don't think you should bring him off the bench, but if you do, cool. But last 5 minutes of the game, he's going to be out there. Who's going to be on the bench? Keon, Dennis, Zach, Malik?
Can I ask, who is a better player on Sacramento than DeMar DeRozan? Is Domas?
No.
I don't think Zach is. I'm doing this stupidly. Let me ask this question because it would be easier to answer this way. Is DeMar DeRozan the best player on Sacramento?
I think it's Domas.
I was about to say Domas
is still all NBA caliber.
I want to go with Domas because that's, like Jesse said, it's all NBA caliber. He's got the accolades. I'm going to go with Domas. But I do think those three players are on the same tier, on the same level.
Including Levine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, DeMar in his prime at his best was one of the really good as well. But, yeah, I think at this point, just Domas is better.
We'll come back, man.
If Domas is your best player,
Jason,
that's a problem.
One of your top two best players.
That's pushing it.
Jason Jones joins us, man. We'll continue this conversation next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, Jason Jones going to join us coming up here in just a little bit as NBA free agency continues. Sacramento Kings fans just kind of scratching their head. Jonas Valanciunas is out. Drew Eubanks is in. Dennis Schroeder is in to the tune of 3 years, $45 million. But the questions seem to be more centered on will any trades occur? Will those trades include the likes of Malik Monk, perhaps Devin Carter? Is Russell Westbrook still an option for the Sacramento Kings? Is anybody still an option for the Sacramento Kings? They do have that trade exception. We thought maybe they were still attempting to work a deal with the Detroit Pistons, given the Duncan Robinson signing just a few minutes ago. I don't think that would be the case, but I don't know, man. I'm in Vivek's pocket. I'm just here doing my job.
I'm trying to figure out what a deal would look like for any one of those guys, Keon, Monk, or Devin, moving on.
Keon deal's kind of tough, no?
Yeah, well, I think maybe not Malik because of the money situation, but I feel like all those guys feel like they would be involved in a trade, right? Be part of a trade, not just them, how we thought maybe Malik and Dennis was. So, I'm not sure what you do with that. I think the next.
Oh, Dario Saric. I didn't mention him. Kings acquired him too in the Valanciunas move.
The next situation would be somebody just not playing, I don't think. Somebody not being part of the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless, like I said, unless I'm missing something.
There's also the Keegan Murray extension too. I don't know. The Jabari Smith Jr. contract was 4 and 122. Where does Keegan fit with that? About the same, a little more, a little less. I'm not really sure. That's a conversation. That is a debate amongst the Kings fans. I don't know what the conversation happening within the walls of the Sacramento Kings front offices are. I actually like Dario Saric. I really like Jonas Valanciunas. I didn't necessarily want to lose him. I guess they felt Dario Saric was comparable and it saved them a couple of bucks. I really, really like Dennis Schroeder. I just wanted to see some other things done with this roster, because right now I feel like Doug Christie has a whole host of problems to figure out.
Yeah, he's still got...
And I'm so sorry. I don't want front office directives either. Like, hey, so-and-so's not in our future, DC. Like, Doug's, if he's got guys on his in wearing uniform, he's got to put out the best team possible. And I hate when you get into that, hey, this guy isn't in our future thing, so maybe, you know, drop him over there on the bench. And we've seen that far too many times in the history of this organization. Let's welcome in our man, Jason Jones of the New York Times, a.k.a. The Athletic. Jason, what's happening, man?
Stupid hat. Again.
Look at your stupid hat.
That's fine. It goes with the outfit.
You look great.
Mine goes with my shirt, so.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, see. Yeah. Cooking over there.
There was no need to insult me. You're the one tweeting about they can't lose 5 or 6 when they clearly can't.
That was embarrassing. That was just
that was what I expected since y'all were screenshotting 2 weeks ago because you won a game against the Dodgers.
This is just awful. And then the Dodgers.
Y'all was in first place for 12 hours?
What they have? Oh, no, they play Kansas City. But 6 of their last 9 games are going to be against double-A teams. Playing the Rockies for 3, and now they're playing the damn White Sox for 3. When do they play the Braves and all these other teams?
Played them earlier in the year. Beat them.
I love that every Tuesday with Jason starts the exact same way.
I was chilling. He's the one who called my hat.
No, it's always instigated by Kenny. I understand.
I'm just saying, you know, focus on beating the Marlins. Don't worry about the first.
Okay, what do you think about basketball?
I think I want to go down to El Segundo and fight the front office.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What's going on in Los Angeles right now?
I want to fight somebody. I mean, cap space for 2027? That what we're doing? That's what we're doing? I'm like, can the new ownership please fire people? Can they please get that sale finalized so we can stop enduring dumb stuff like we're preparing for like free agency in 3 years? That has got to be the worst leaked thing, at least for me, yesterday. Oh, don't worry. They need to have flexibility for 2027. Okay. Yeah. What, for Bronny's prime? Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here?
See, Kings fans, it's not just you.
It's what are we doing here? You.
The damn Lakers got an issue, too.
That they just got Luka. That is the most thing I've heard. You've got prime Luka and LeBron coming off an all-NBA season, and your response is we need cap space 2 years from now. Do we want to go through another embarrassing LaMarcus Aldridge, everyone tells us no summer? Like, I my only saving grace that is in 2027, the people making these decisions won't be making them anymore.
So I'm of the belief, I think I'm a one-man wolf pack with it, but I'm of the belief there's smoke to this, or there's fire to this LeBron James smoke. I think he might get traded this summer. What are you hearing? What are you thinking about LeBron possibly not being a Laker after the summer?
I don't think he gets traded. I haven't talked to him. I don't think he gets traded.
What do you think happens?
I think LeBron's is applying pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see what happens, but I think trading LeBron is not nearly as easy as it sounds.
Sure.
Just because if you're Cleveland, do you really want to give up, say, Jared Allen and a couple of other young guys for possibly 1 year of LeBron? I mean, because if you don't win a championship, what did you do it for? I'm like, and because he makes, $52 million, you know, you're going to have to send something significant back to the Lakers. And that would be any team, unless you're going to go star for star. And if you're trading a star, LeBron has a no-trade clause. So I peruse the internet and see Laker fans saying, see, we can just go get Giannis now. No, you can't. LeBron's not going to Milwaukee, first off. And he's definitely not going to Milwaukee without Giannis there. So, I mean, you're really limited in what you can do. I just think, hey, you see what happens the rest of this week. I think that, you know, it's only, day two. So, of course, every fan base is going crazy. You know, if you didn't do anything yesterday, everyone thinks, oh, my God, it's over. You know, Julius Randle got traded before training camp last year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time before you even play any basketball game. So, you know, I jokingly overreact and lose my mind, but we'll see how it all plays. I don't think anything happens anytime soon, though, which, of course, means the opposite will happen.
Are you surprised by what happened in Milwaukee today with Dame?
Well, if you think about it from a business perspective, no. I mean, I think it's kind of shocking. You don't see that type of player get amnesty, you know, waived like that and all that. You don't see that. I mean, I think because it's Dame, and plus Dame just got injured, in April?
Yeah.
It just seems like, well, that's cold-blooded.
Some of the stuff
you read, I never got the sense that Dame was in love with Milwaukee anyway. And I can imagine that a guy from Oakland would rather be rehabbed. He probably would have been rehabbing in California anyway. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want to spend, you know, a winter in Milwaukee where he can't, you know, where he can't do anything. And if the odds are when he came back, they probably might have tried to move him anyway on the last year of a deal. You remove kind of the feelings, emotions, like, dang, that's cold. It makes sense. It took a lot of guts to make that happen, though. It'd be like, you know what? We're going to waive a Hall of, you know, who, you know, when he was healthy, Dame could still play. Mm-hmm. But I just think they were like, you know, we're not going to have him for a year. Go ahead and move on. I'm just wondering what's up with Indiana. I guess they said, okay, there's our window. Bye.
Real quick on that Dame situation, do you think that happens without his blessing?
I think it could happen without his blessing. But I think you definitely go to him and present it to him. That's why I think when you read that he's pleased with how it turned out, they definitely talk to him. which is, I mean, but all the reports right now are so crazy. On one hand, you read that Dame is elated. On the other hand, you read not, Giannis didn't like it, but you also read that Giannis helped recruit Miles Turner. So, I mean, everyone's lying at this point. But I think of all those scenarios, Dame being happy that he still gets his money, and then, say, hypothetically, in a year and he's healthy, could still sign, say, a two-year, $40 million deal or whatever. I think Dame, you know, I could see Dame being happy with, he wasn't going to play this coming season anyway. So, I, you know, then the idea that when he's healthy, he can pick his spot. I can see, you know, I can see Dame being happy with that.
How big of an impact do you think these aprons are having on this current free agency period? We're not seeing the shocking dollars that we used to see, you know, over the last several seasons. We saw the cap didn't go up the full 10%. It went up about 7%. And every tweet is accompanied with how close to what that particular team is to the first or second apron.
Oh, it's having a major impact. I mean, I'm not convinced that if without the apron that Boston doesn't keep, you know, Drew and Porzingis for one more year. Because, I mean, that's still a good team.
Yeah.
If you keep those guys, even without Tatum, I'm not convinced. I mean, I think a lot of these decisions are not basketball. They are strictly financial decisions. Let's, you know, get under this apron. You know, let's shed salary. Let's not be committed to guys long term. I'm convinced it's definitely having a major impact because, you know, people are already projecting out what OKC is going to do, you know, with when Chet's eligible for his extension, you know, and it's definitely affecting teams. And I think what it does is it gives a bunch of teams and a bunch of ownerships groups or owners a reason and excuse not to compete. I hate it. I think it punishes. I know from a big market, small market or whatever, who can spend the most money. But I think it gives teams who, you know, between that and the whole playing thing, you're giving teams a reason. Like, it's okay to be mediocre because of the apron now. Like, we can't, you know, unless we can be like Oklahoma City and win when the guys are young, why even try?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't like about it. I just think I hate seeing a bunch of decisions being made based off of that, as opposed to, you know what, this guy would really help us, you know, because, mm-hmm. I mean, they say that one of the reasons why Indiana let Miles Turner go was because of they were like, without Halliburton, why be under that apron or whatever, because you're not going to compete. Right. So it was like, you say you did it for parity, but the fact now is going to be, you know what? If teams feel like they can't win a championship, they're going to be getting rid of salary.
Yeah, and I had the same thought about just there's been a lot of talk about value of, like, we're talking Malik Monk, but just different players and stuff like that. And you mentioned these aprons, and the first apron is obviously something nobody wants to be around if they don't feel like they compete. And the second apron is like death. Even if you're a championship team, you don't want to be there. So I always try to say, or lately I've been trying to say, Malik Monk, for instance, it's not that he's a bad player or people look at him as a bad player or anything else like that. I just think these teams are like super cautious with any type of money that they bring on and the type of player, because they don't want to make the wrong decision being one of those aprons and now be kind of in no man's land. So we're talking about Malik Monk, but I don't think it's an indictment on Malik, more of it being something that the league is going through with these aprons.
Yeah, Malik's contract is not a bad contract. I mean, that's not what you would put in, you know, top 10 worst deals in the NBA. But the thing is when you're close, you ask yourself, does Malik put me over to a championship team? If you don't think Malik makes you a championship team, maybe you don't want that contract. And a lot of these contracts you see getting signed, you see a lot of guys in that, you know, $15, $16 million range.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are trying to keep your salary smaller. They're easier to move. And if you're a team like the Kings, you've got, DeMar's deal isn't crazy, but trying to move a guy like LaVine, that's not an easy deal to move. Someone's got to believe Zach LaVine makes them a championship team to take that on. And so and I hate some of the discourse I've had to see about Malik, because Malik is not the problem. The problem is the roster and the final. It's not a Malik problem.
But he doesn't There's too many guys who do the same thing, and because
exactly. It's a roster issue. It's not Malik's fault. You know that they drafted Devin Carter last year.
No, it isn't.
And that it's not Malik's fault that they took on LaVine and signed DeRozan within a matter of months. It's not his fault.
But because of what you just said with the 15, 16, 17, $18 million, he has a contract that is really easy. Well, we thought his contract would be really easy to move.
Yeah, and I think maybe it'll be easy if you're going to, I think as you get past free agency, teams strike out on guys, you start kind of seeing, like when I started seeing, and the thing is, I'm not that I'm trying to run Malik out of town, but some of the teams you look at where he would have fit well, you would think in a trade, don't either, or have a lot of salary already or hard to move or hard to fit him in. Like when I watched the Knicks in the playoffs, I said they need another guy who can score and handle the ball and initiate. A guy like Malik would have been perfect in New York. But if you're in New York's financial situation, it's easier to get Jordan Clarkson off waivers and sign him to a minimum deal. I just think this, it's hard for teams to kind of go in. And like I said, Malik does not have a bad deal. It's not like he's on a 4-year, $120 million deal. But it's just the way it is. And in a lot of ways, if you look at the way the Kings are, if you're going to move, if you're the guy who's tradable, you would think it would be Malik. But I think some teams are going to say, for a guy who we probably bring off the bench, do we want to pay him that much? Yeah. I mean, it's really weird. Because now you're seeing guys who maybe 5 years ago you'd be clamoring, I'll make that move in a heartbeat. Now you're going, maybe we sacrifice a little depth here and maybe some talent to avoid these aprons and all the other stuff. Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you the guy that is coming to Sacramento, Dennis Schroeder. You got to see him up close and personal a few years ago when he was with the Lakers. He was on the title team or the year after?
No.
I think he's the year after.
I want to say the year after. Yeah. Or the year after, yeah.
What you think about him, man? I like Dennis Schroeder as a ball player. I'm not saying he's the savior or anything like that, but I think he's a good ball player, man. What you think about him?
I think he's a good player. He's competitive. He'll get in he's a competitor. Defensively, he'll try to get in you. He can make the three. I think he's a solid option at point guard. I don't have any issue with the Kings signing Dennis. I don't think signing Dennis Schroeder is an issue at all. I just think the Kings' more greater issue is what do you do with this collection of guys over here who were all variations of the same guy? Like, of all those guards you name, who would you say, I guess you say outside of Keon, who are your defenders? It's kind of just they just have a bunch of guys, bunch of backcourt guys.
Yeah,
and I think at least Dennis has a defined role. Outside of, I don't know what the defined role is. Like I said, as of today, with the rest of the guys would necessarily be. This is why I'm curious to see in 4 or 5 days what moves get made, what things happen to shake stuff up, because the way they're built right now, it's like
don't work.
Okay. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do with this except have a bunch of guys mad. And it's also a weird thing, too, because your rookie from last year is not who your current GM drafted. And is there a team that would want to take a flyer on him?
So far, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're just kind of in this weird and this kind of collection of players got you what ninth in the West? And, I don't think you see they're because it's still early, but they're not in a better position right now, and to the point where you lose a guy to the Lakers mainly because, the Lakers had a little bit more money to offer.
Yeah, very little bit, but he took it.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Lakers came in and offered him $10 million a year.
Yeah.
But it was still more than what the Kings could do.
It was as simple as that. It was very literally the Kings just could only offer so much. Like, it wasn't something the Kings did. It was just the collective bargaining agreement. They can only offer so much. The Lakers said, okay, I see you. I can up that by about a total of $1.5 million in total. And salute to Jake LaRavia. He took it. I take every single penny someone was willing to offer me.
Yeah, can't be mad at that. It's a victim of the CBA, and I know we're probably it's not happening soon. I can't wait to see the next labor negotiations, because at some point, you know, you got to assume that the players have to stop giving the owners ways to save themselves. I mean, yeah. Everything that, you know, every concession they've made is basically because the owners can't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to throw money away for years. Now look what you've got.
I don't know, man. Like, you're watching these teams, you're watching these different moves. The Dame Lillard one, you know, even though, like, I guess you can look at it and go, it makes sense. You noted this a second ago, Jason, it's weird to see that with a player the caliber of Dame Lillard. Then you got like the LeBron James thing going on, where LeBron James is now a prime candidate. You can't tell a prime trade candidate. You can't tell if Rich Paul kind of put out a very vague trade request or trade threat in his statement. And then you start having the conversation about, yeah, it's a $53 million trade. And in the era of the collective bargaining agreement in 2025, that's almost impossible to pull off and remain a contender unless you have a total anomaly of a contract. We might have one if you want to work on this Zach LaVine trade. But, like,
the anomaly you saw was Luka and AD. That's the anomaly.
Sure.
Where you have two high-level players get traded for each other. But generally, you're trading a guy like that, you're not getting that guy back. Like, the Lakers aren't going to trade LeBron to Cleveland and get Donovan Mitchell back.
Right.
You know, right. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just been fascinating, weird, everything, just to kind of watch all this stuff unfold. It's like, yeah, it's weird, you know, between that, the draft. Oh, it's just, the NBA is just weird right now. I don't know what's going on half the time anymore.
Haven't mentioned one time. I guess it's news, but it's whatever. We haven't touched on Shea's extension, his monster contract extension that he signed.
71 mil a year.
285 million in total, a 4-year max. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
You're gonna have to keep Applebee's open late for him in OKC.
62.5, 68.6, 73.7, and 78.7. We are getting closer and closer to that $100 million man. How old is Shea? 26?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is he older than that? 26. So this contract will take him, because he's got 2 years left, this contract will take him till he's 32, 28, 27. Yeah, he could get to... Woo! He's going to get close.
He's going to get another two.
Somebody already projected Cooper Flagg could make a $500 million.
Okay.
They already projected. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, when's Wimby's going to, his extension going to be?
Oh,
I felt like we do this every time you bring up a contract. Mm-hmm. But who's next? Who's the next one after Shea?
Who's the next one after Shea?
Has all the accolades.
Well, I don't know that there is one. Is it
Steph?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but it probably won't be for 4 years.
But I mean, in terms of guys who's due up next.
I mean
Luka's the trade, in 2 years.
Well, it's not the same, but Trey's 2-year extension that he consigned is like $75 million a year.
Goodness.
We're not that far from the $100 million.
Yeah, there's a really important component to this. You have to either be on the team that drafted you, or have been traded on your rookie deal, which Shea was. So even though the Clippers didn't, even though the Thunder didn't draft him, he still reaps the benefits of that one team thing. Yeah. And so, you know, Luka. I think we were projecting it was going to be Luka. Luka's out.
Yeah, he's out.
Luka lost it.
It would have been Luka.
Chatty House is saying Ant Edwards.
Ant Edwards, what? Yeah, he's an All-NBA player. Yeah.
Yeah, Ant's going to be in the running for that. Yeah.
Book's rumored extension was, I think, around 75 per.
Yeah. if the Timberwolves can stop paying big men, you know, there'll be some money for Ant.
Rudy Gobert? How much money we get Rudy Gobert?
Oh, and man.
Stop, please. I still have flashbacks of that.
Rudy Gobert getting $81 million.
The only man with Rudy Gobert flashbacks to play the game of him and his children's lives.
That's why they got to have money for 2027. They got to be able to combat that in 2 years. Like, we got to be ready.
That man couldn't keep his hands on the ball in the Western Conference Finals, but he grabbed 27 rebounds against the Lakers.
Well, it helps when you're getting boxed out by Austin Reeves. But still, yeah. But yeah, he won't. It won't. Rudy won't get 100 mil. I think, you put in all the parameters, Ant, Wimby, one of those guys is going to get 100 mil. I mean, Wimby's I wouldn't put it past Phoenix. I wouldn't put it past Phoenix to do that. With Book.
Seems
I
like mean, Phoenix yeah. never wants to get rid of Booker.
It's out he there. Don't yeah, to it's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care about the cap and the aprons. Clearly, they just.
they Book and the Suns love each other.
Yeah. So I mean, it might end up being Book, because a lot of times that first person to crack that barrier is not like the guy who you would assume it's going to be. Like, remember back in the day when the first $100 million contract was it Juwan Howard?
Yeah, Juwan Howard. Then Alonzo Mourning, I think. Yeah, I think Juwan.
Yeah, yeah. And that's when Shaq was like, if they're getting that, I know I'm what I'm getting. You know, so I think you just need one team to do it. And Devin Booker would be an ideal candidate.
Is that when contracts were kind of just a free for all?
Yeah.
Like there weren't set numbers like there aren't, like set seven tiers.
You just kind of came up with whatever number you thought worked. You know?
Well, yeah, that's right. Magic did sign like a 20-year, $20 million deal one time.
That's how baseball is
now.
There
was a time, kids, there was a time where you just go up there and say, this is what I want. There was a time kids were rookie signed 7-year deals off the rip.
That's what I'm saying. That's what baseball is now. What Trout and Harper on like 13-year deals.
Yeah. And baseball ends up, you know, because you get like it happened with the Angels with Pujols. You get to like year 9. You're like, why did we do this? You're like, what's going on here? Like, it's year 8, year 9 of a deal. Except in the case of the Dodgers, we'll take our 10-year guy.
Not pay him for 14 years.
Don't worry about what we do. Jesus. Focus on the Marlins.
All right, that's the second time. Relax.
they stretched Shohei Ohtani's contract.
And I'm kept fine him on the team.
I'm supposed to release him.
They just kept him.
Deferred money. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Deferred money. Deferred
I'm in favor
money.
Of deferred money. Happy. Like I said, today's Bobby. He's the forefather of it. Happy Bobby Bonilla
the
Day.
The forefather.
Shout out to everybody who lived through the amnesty era. Oh, you used that word a second ago when we were talking about Dame, and it was like, oh my God, what a time that was, where a team could just go, my bad.
Oops.
My bad. I'm out.
Did I have this right? Was the first one Allen Houston?
The first guy to get amnesty?
Yeah.
Ooh, good one. I don't remember.
I just remember every fan base had at least one guy. They were like, could you please amnesty? Yeah.
And there was like a window in which you could use it.
And everyone was like, yeah, let's get it.
They should bring it back.
Yeah, bruh. You know how happy Kings fans would be if you could use an amnesty clause right now?
Bring it back.
I mean, that was, and then when the first you could wave a player, then, you know, break the contract up.
This is AI, but I got Gilbert Arenas as the first player to be waived under the amnesty clause.
Gil was making a lot of money. I can't remember exactly, but Gil was getting paid.
This AI mode is wild, dude. Artificial intelligence is crazy.
Yeah. Gil was cashing checks.
I'm trying to see what the dollar figure was, and come on, artificial intelligence, be better. The amnesty provision was known
as the Allen Houston rule. That's why I think about
it. Okay, now wait a minute. The first player waived under the rule was Jerome Williams by the New York Knicks?
Jerome, they said we made a mistake with Jerome Williams. Shout out to the Junkyard Dog or whatever his name was. Nick said, the Nick said, oh man, we messed up bad.
This is crazy. The NBA agreed to a new the agreement included an amnesty clause provision allowing teams to release one player without his contract counting against the cap. Because the Knicks were expected to use the amnesty clause to waive Houston due to his expensive contract and injury rules, the amnesty clause was dubbed the Allen Houston rule. After Houston assured the team that he would retire if his knee injuries reoccurred in training camp that fall, the Knicks chose to not use the amnesty clause to release him. Instead, they released Jerome Williams.
I'm looking at some of the names they said. Luol Deng was amnestied.
Luol Deng was amnestied?
Yeah.
I got the list right here. We got some names, boy.
Is Gilbert even on the list?
It was used on Chris Bosh, but he had a health thing.
Okay.
Oh, well, man, I'm alive that long?
I'm looking just at 2005, my bad.
Oh, okay.
I found the whole thing of Monte Ellis.
Oh, what you know about Clarence Witherspoon?
God. Joakim Noah.
Howard Eisley. Man. Oh, look who got amnesty. Doug Christie.
Oh, DC.
From Orlando.
I got Gilbert getting amnestied by Orlando also in 2011.
I'm looking at some of these. I remember when Travis Outlaw did, because they were like, he's going to Sacramento now, because
this is crazy. These numbers are crazy. They amnestied Doug Christie for $7.5 million.
Man.
Yeah,
it's not like he was making 80.
Yeah.
7.5.
Yeah, back then, that was a significant amount, I guess. I'm looking at some of these other ones from back in the day who was used on. I don't know how accurate this is. The name they said it was used on was Tyrus Thomas, Carlos Boozer, Baron Davis.
I just Brendan thought about Haywood. What's the most famous amnesty story you guys can think of?
The most famous amnesty story.
How about amnesty that?
Oh, who was that again?
Yeah, that was when Mark.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
The Lakers should amnesty Kobe.
Yeah.
Aaron beat him. But look at some of these names. Who remembers Linus Klaza?
Oh, man.
Andre Blatch.
Shout out Andre Blatch, man. Washington
Josh
Wizards.
Josh Childress.
Oh, shout out Josh Stanford. Stand up.
Drew Gooden.
Shout out Kansas and the Oakland Soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, man.
Travis Outlaw got amnestied by the New Jersey Nets. His next team?
Sacramento.
Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, some of these names I haven't seen in a while. Guys like Robinson, Ryan Gomes used his name in a while.
What y'all know about Eddie Robinson?
Oh, Eddie Robinson. Who'd he get amnestied by?
Chicago for $5 million. Reggie Miller got amnesty.
I see that. I'm looking at that. I'm trying to figure that out, but I can't. I don't know.
I mean, these were wild. These were wild times. I mean, if they brought it, if they brought it back, the market would get flooded with players.
They should bring it back.
They couldn't amnesty players quick enough in today's era.
They should bring it back every 5 years or so.
You know what the play-in tournament should be for? An amnesty contract. treat it like the money in the bank contract. You don't think teams will play hard for that?
Oh my God.
If you win, you can amnesty. See, you
Milwaukee care. Would make Dame pay 48 minutes.
I guess like, maybe in on, that sense, people, teams wouldn't play. The league would just have to spring it on them. Hey, you won. Players, you get $5 million to split amongst yourselves. Ownership, you get to amnesty one of them. Goodbye, everybody.
Imagine the owner or GM going to a player saying, hey, man, I know you don't want to be here anymore, but we win this one. We got you.
Get you out. We're going to get you out.
We're going to get you out.
He had a game of his life. It'd be the opposite of the Malik Beasley accusation. That man gonna go all out.
Adam with the Kia in season amnesty tournament.
Team sign, you got to compete to qualify. LeBron's playing 48 minutes.
What if the All-Star game was for an amnesty clause? The winning team could amnesty a player on the other team? Oh, we got
in-season amnesty.
Just treat the amnesty clause like the Money in the Bank briefcase, and I think we could work this all out.
Yeah, everything could be for an amnesty. You could have like four or five of them available All-Star weekend. Winner of the three-point contest.
Mac McClung will get signed by the Celtics just so he can win the amnesty.
Like, and guys are fighting. They're like, no, Steph is in this. You know?
Do you think that we got to go? But seriously, do you think the Celtics would amnesty Jaylen Brown if they could?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I think he has trade value. All right.
Yeah, I think that's he has a value. Good
question. We'll answer it tomorrow.
Yeah, man. I guess just think about it for a while. Jay, we appreciate you, brother.
All right. Yeah,
thank you as always. It's our man Jason Jones.
Tomorrow we're going to find an amnesty candidate on every team.
We're bringing amnesty back.
That's what we're going to do tomorrow.
We're just going to start amnestying players tomorrow. We appreciate y'all for being with us. We tried to fix everything today. I'm sorry. I don't think we did. Michael Wilbon say, we'll do better tomorrow. See you at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Dennis Schroeder.